information discussion items, middle school activities code.
Mrs. I asked that this be included on the agenda.
Yes, a parent requested that I look over the academic eligibility section for the middle school and the IEP code book, specifically the part where if the grade falls below the D minus, they're not able to participate anymore. They can for that day, but not after that. And I guess I'm questioning why it's written that way. So depending on when the grade falls to an F, the athlete may not miss a game because they have time to bring it up. Obviously, that's good, but there's really no penalty for getting the F. So I was curious as to why the wording is what it is.
Yeah, the reason that we did that, we made that change years ago. But it fell within a problem of if an athlete, if it was discovered, if a teacher informed the coach on, let's say, Tuesday of a junior high football game, that the kid was fell below a passing grade. You know, in football, you only have one competition a week, and you prepare all week for that. So all of a sudden, now you take that kid out of that game for that night, and then that's going to really kind of cause chaos in, the sport of football. So we made that change in the fall. We looked at the whole, went back when we looked at this, at the middle school level, we want to try to encourage them to keep their grades up, and if that's a carrot that we can keep in front of them to get their grade up before the next competition, then we're certainly all for that. I think in terms of academic eligibility at the high school level, we abide by the WIA rules, which is the grading periods. We can't necessarily do grading periods at middle school.
Is the WIAA also, they can participate that day?
In the WIA, you could be failing every class, basically, and then if you're passing come the grading, when the grading period ends, to get all your grades up and you're passing when the first quarter ends, you're eligible. So, there's no sitting if your grade ever dips below a passing in high school.
Right, they just go off the grading period. It's also worded the same that if grades come out, you get an F, they can still play that day in high school.
Well, no, grades coming out, well, grades will get posted, the following week. Let's say the quarter ends on a Friday. Mm-hmm. When grades ultimately get posted, when the F list gets posted, then that's when that academic ineligibility begins for only 15 school days or 21 total days if there's a vacation. So we just adopted the WIA grade policy with that, and we actually stiffened it a little bit because with the WIA, it's two Fs.
Right.
We just have one. So we made that a little bit stiffer for that expectation.
It's the same in the high school. The ineligibility period will start the next school day following the marking period. So
right.
So we can still play that. Is that the WIAA?
Yeah, if the quarter ends on a Friday, we have a game that Friday, they could play that night.
Okay.
But then they would have to sit for 15 days.
Sure. I guess I'm just questioning, why are we reacting, why are we deterring kids more from getting an F rather than reacting once they do? Part of being a student athlete is you're supposed to be communicating with your teacher and your coach about how you're doing academically. So from a coach's standpoint, you should know this kid isn't doing well, so you should be preparing for that football game when Joel might not be able to play. It just seems that in middle school, the way it falls and the way it's written, obviously it's affecting the better athletes, so that those athletes are the ones that it's favoring.
Well, I think your interpretation is a little off with the middle school policy, because it's at any point in time in the quarter. That's not like that in high school.
No.
So that's only come the end of the grading period.
Right.
So it's really tough for teachers to look at grades every single day. And if you've got a kid that's at a D, they can communicate with the coach that, hey, they're getting a D. But, to alleviate pressure from teachers on having to constantly check if it's a percentage point or two away, we're talking about one assignment that may not have, gotten turned in or turned late. You know what I mean? And
right.
Middle schools, that's a lot tougher to monitor in real time than it is at the high school level, because it's just at the end of the grade period.
Right, but going back to the student athlete, the student comes first before the athlete. If they're getting a D minus, everyone should know and everyone should be preparing. I guess I'm just questioning if I'm the only one who feels like this.
I'm wondering what, I'm struggling to see if you're saying it should be more strict or less strict.
Right, I feel like when you get your F, you have an F, you can't play.
I would agree with you on F on the report card, okay? So if a kid gets an F for the grading period, I think they don't play. However, if they fail one test, first test of the quarter, they fail the first test of the quarter, they got an F, they sit out until that grade comes up. I think that's very fair, honestly.
Okay, let's say grades come out Friday.
Now, keep in mind, in middle school, it's not about when grades come out. It's about your daily grades.
It comes out that the student has an F, that they're failing.
Mm-hmm.
Game on Friday. They get to play Friday. For some reason or another, they don't have a game the next week. The student was able to get their grade to a D minus. They didn't miss a game. They had, it didn't affect them from a sports standpoint. There's no penalty for them getting the F. Yes, it's good they got it up, but
so the question is, did the policy do its job, though, because they got the grade up the next week?
That's part of the thinking for the policy was that it was more of a lever to incentivize them getting their grade up than it was a hammer to punish them for getting having a failing grade at a point in time during the quarter. Right? That was part of the thing.
And I'm not commenting whether I agree or disagree. I'm just trying to clarify where you are. You know,
I guess that getting an MU, I shouldn't say you have to try, but you're not trying. If you're going above and beyond to try and do well, you're not going to fail. So getting to that point in my mind, should you be focusing on the sports or should you, I guess I'm just questioning if we are not tough enough or if we're okay with that. I just wanted to bring up the discussion.
And to your last line of thinking, the idea being there that if the kid lets their grade slip down, and we would still allow them, even with an F, I believe, to practice. Right? They'd have to go to practice, have to go to games, have to do all of that. That, I guess the idea is, and I understand what you're saying, that there may not be a consequence for getting to an F. But if the idea behind it is to try and get the kid to raise their grade so that by the time the next game starts, they've done that. I guess from our perspective, it was, this did what it was supposed to do, and they raised their grade. If it's so they can play, so be it. That's all good. If they don't raise their grade, well, they're not playing. Is really what it, in the game.
Okay, sure.
Because it really only affects games. But I think what you're saying is that no matter what, if your grade gets to an F at any point, you're saying that there should be a consequence for that. And it would have to be sitting out a game or a portion of a game.
Something, right.
If I'm understanding.
And the issue that lies with middle school compared to high school is that the middle school seasons are much more condensed. So we can't do the WIA policy at the middle school level per se because in boys basketball, the grading period doesn't end until middle of January. Their season is done before Christmas. So a kid in theory could be failing every class and be eligible the entire season. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where this policy makes them kind of keep things in check throughout the duration of that season. And so in essence, you know, give a little, take a little. If they can get that grade up before the next contest, you know, that's kind of the reasoning behind as to why we, you know,
I understand your point, and I agree with the fact that we should be holding kids to a high standard, but I think I look at it from a different perspective that giving them incentive to get that grade up so they can do what they, you know, participate in something that's very important to them, you know, I guess, to me, if we said, okay, you got an F, you can't play tonight, I'm okay with that. As long as soon as that F is above, as soon as it's passing again, then you can play. You know.
Another reason for that, too, is that, you know, if we find out at 3 o'clock that day that the kid's failing the grade, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe that particular, in some years, we're hanging out with the skin of our teeth on numbers. So all of a sudden, we got the other team that's on the bus already coming. I got the officials coming. We're playing at 4:30. It's really hard to put the brakes on and say, hey, we can't play because we have a kid. You know what I mean? So that's why we went to the next day as well, is that, you know, that timing issue of putting on an event requires adequate notification in the event we get a cancel.
So, in a perfect world, I think you would phrase it something to the effect of if it's, you know, beyond the first week of the quarter. You know, if you're, you felt, speaking from a guy that usually coasted the first 2 weeks and then came, had a raging comeback at the end of the quarter, okay, I think if you said, you know, beyond the first week, because if someone is, didn't prepare for a test or, you know, slipped up, failed the first test, okay, we're not going to, but after that, if you're failing mid-quarter, you know, yeah, I agree with you then, mm-hmm. that, you know, you shouldn't play. But I do like the idea of incentivizing these kids to be responsible, to know where they are in grades, and to get those grades to a point where they can play. And if it's working, like we talked about here, you know, that kids are getting their grades up, to me that means it's good.
And chances are pretty good, too. Like,
I mean, quite honestly, Kale, I don't think you'll ever fathom getting, you know, a low grade in anything. You were an exceptional student.
I see where you're coming from, but if you can get the grade back up, why'd you even drop it down? We're lowering our standards. I guess it just seems in my mind like we're lowering our standards to allow kids to play sports. We should be teaching kids that they have to have higher standards in order to participate in extracurricular activities. And I don't think keeping your grade above a D minus is that difficult.
I think for some people it's not.
Right, but are you telling me if a kid is trying and they're going to the teacher saying, hey, I need help, what can I do to keep this at a D minus or higher, that the teacher's not going to help them?
I think our teachers would always help them. I'm on the fence with it. I don't necessarily disagree with you. I just see another side of it. So
yeah, okay, I wanted a discussion.
Anybody else have anything? Good for you, Kayla?
Yep.
All right, moving on. COVID-19 wrestling co-op.
AD Dorster kind of touched on it a little bit, but if there are any questions, you can deepen the discussion.
Who are we going with again?
The Northwoods Storm, which would be Niagara, Florence. We'll already have a co-op between them two.
How many kids do we have?
We have 8, they have 4.
Oh. And the full team is?
Full team is 14.
Okay.
So they would practice by themselves up there. There'd be no practicing together. You know, they just basically communicate on weight classes and, you know, if anybody's sick or if anybody's hurt, you know, and schools this year got to communicate more now more than ever to make sure that there's, you know, matches for high school wrestlers when they show up to the venue that night.
So the strategy
of winning duels isn't as important this year on, you know, as it is getting kids matches.
So you would, each school would go on their own, but you'd go to a meet at the same school?
Right. We would be, in a sense, co-opted. Okay. The WI is allowing these one-year-only co-ops to take place.
All right.
When we co-op, we're considered one team. So we're actually one team school. So your wrestlers are part of this.
Yeah.
But that's the only intermingling they would ever do is at the meet.
Right.
We're not seeing them anyway.
Right.
We're actually not intermingling with us.
Yeah.
With others.
And it gives us more of a full roster, may allow us to get more meets, so on and so forth. More matches, sorry.
Not really a downside.
There's not a really. Okay, anything on that? Youth wrestling request to use the district facility.
I believe have some representatives here from Youth Wrestling Group. They're asking for an exception to the board rule that only district-affiliated groups utilize the district facilities during the pandemic. And I guess if you care to, they can speak to it. So.
Before they even have to speak to it, did we make a decision that we were allowing groups like theater and stuff to be?
That's community ed.
Community
That's
ed.
District-affiliated.
They're not community ed.
I understand that, but even so, wasn't that still an outside group that was being involved?
My understanding, my recollection is correct, is it was district-affiliated groups, which community, any group in community ed would be considered a district-affiliated group. Anything else, I believe,
I think so,
board
yeah.
can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe your decision was they had to be district-affiliated.
No outside, yeah.
No outside groups. So this would just be an exception.
Yeah, I guess, thinking that
Right. and that's a correct interpretation of that. I'm just going, the board was pretty specific as to that, so.
Can you use wrestling usage as curtains?
Yes. Most of my are curtains. From time to time, through the years, we've had a kid from a different school.
So the majority of, like, are mostly curtains?
The majority always is. Crivets kids.
Like a bar, like the man go on and you want to side and have them done that. So what if we ask them to not, could you not allow outside kids this year?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we can ask them, but we can't tell community ed to do that because remember we had that discussion.
Correct, but.
But you can ask.
But we can ask them, yeah.
That is correct.
I mean, because I understand we kind of set a precedence if we let an outside group.
Yeah.
We put the contingency on, if they're an outside group, but only Crivets kids.
Yep.
Do we cover ourselves?
Mm-hmm. They wouldn't certainly be covered by our insurance.
No, but I mean, just as far as not setting precedence for now we broke our own rule about outside groups.
Yep.
So what we would be doing would be allowing any user that isn't affiliated with the district that is only got compliance or comprised of Crivets.
You would have to include that in your motion as an exception to your rule of no outside groups utilizing.
Or could we make it a case-by-case basis?
I was going to say, could you have them come to the board?
You know what I mean? Like, making it complicated is not always the smart thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, we certainly can, depending on what the board's wishes are. I mean, we could decide administratively if that's what you would like to pass on to us to do. It just has to be clear as to exceptions can be made to.
I mean, because our concern with that was outside kids. Was
yes.
Outside people coming in the building. That was the bottom line of that concern, correct? Right? I mean, so if we're asking them to say limited to Crivets kids, now that concern is gone, but you don't want to set a precedent so somebody else can come and say, well, you let this group do it, but we let them do it with restrictions.
Right. The challenge would be then, if anyone else was willing to live by those restrictions, it would be hard.
You wouldn't say no.
It would be difficult for the board to say no. And that's fine.
And that's, I mean, that's but fine. It would. They're kids don't have very many opportunities to do things right now.
Yep.
Yeah, agreed.
So could we make that after this, make that they could request it of Pat and he can make the decision, or are we going to say they need to come to the board?
I think this should come to the board each time.
And talk to us, yeah.
And that's fine. The only issue with that is if there's something that's time sensitive between board meetings, that's the only issue. Just to bring up, I'm not opposed either way, but.
I don't know if there's anything that time sensitive. You know, we're talking youth wrestling. It's, you know, it'll be going on for a while, you know. If it's time sensitive, they better think ahead and come to the board the month before.
Are you, an additional limiting factor could be that it's just Crivets students in your motion, that it's not opening it up to any outside groups?
How young do you start?
Kindergarten.
So they were
in school.
Students in the district?
Yeah.
And you go up to eighth grade, right, with the youth wrestling, something like that?
Fifth goes up to fifth.
Fifth. So kindergarten.
Fourth, actually. I think we have fifth at middle school.
Fifth is at middle school.
That would be with hard.
Yeah. But ultimately, if we made a motion like that, we would not be excluding any Crivets residents from, because we started kindergarten, so their kids would be in school. Up to fourth or fifth grade, whatever the case might be. Limited to Crivets students only.
And then what do you have as support staff as far as who oversees?
Coaches?
We have our own board with officials on it. There's a president, vice president.
I mean, how many of those people come to the school or are parents allowed to come?
At your practices, who's going to be allowed to show up?
We're going to follow your guys' guidelines on who's in the room and that. I'm a coach, so I'm going to get information from Coach Doyen here.
What do we have to do as far as parents attending practices?
I would be wrong.
They're outside. They're outside picking up and dropping off.
So the rule would be the coaches in the building. Parents would not be allowed in the building.
Parents.
You guys get that, right? That's, you're okay with that?
Yeah.
And they'd have the same guidelines of cleaning stuff and doing stuff like our other coaches do? Okay.
And the same with tickets, right, for matches, so they don't.
They don't.
We wouldn't have matches because then you'd be bringing in out kids who are not credit tickets.
No, we would not have any matches at the school. We're not, we're actually canceling the tournament that we normally have. And the only thing that we're going to encourage the kids to do is have their parents come to another club. Do the area and participate in their rules. So we do not have our own.
So you're basically just their practice. You're just there for them to practice and get their experience and then.
All right, everybody good on this?
Yep.
Moving on, COVID-19, district COVID-19 response.
It's kind of open. If there's anything or concerns that anyone has with approaches, what we're doing, if there's anything just related to that. So.
Question, second semester, are we going to encourage students to be in the building in-person teaching? Are we going to strongly encourage them to come to school instead of the virtual?
The choice will still be there.
The choice will be there, but are we going to strongly encourage?
We're already, anyone that is struggling with virtual is already strongly being encouraged, and we have the other sort of levers there that you have to have 80% attendance or above, and you have to be passing all of your classes to go virtual in second semester.
You know, I think we all understand the virtual is not.
It's not ideal.
Not their ideal.
Nope. Not everybody's cup of tea.
But that letter was good that you sent out.
Because some of these kids that are in school now might choose virtual for the second semester, and they're going to lose them for the summer.
Well, they may, but again, they'd have to attend their virtual classes at 80%, and they'd have to be passing all of their classes.
If you talk to a few parents, I think it's going to go.
Pardon?
But I'll pay for when they can go virtual.
Semester.
At your grades for second quarter. Right, so whatever your grades are and your attendance is at second quarter, at the end of second quarter, that's going to be determinative of whether or not you can choose virtual.
And we got a survey today.
Yeah, the high school sent out a survey to the parents today, asking what their choice is for their student. It had the stipulations on it, reminding them that you can choose virtual, but if your student doesn't meet the two qualifications, which is 80% attendance rate and no failing grades, then that decision is already made for them as far as. And we'll, that went out today. As a staff, we're going to review the results the parents have through, I don't remember the days here, January, when do we come back? Second?
Fourth.
January 4th.
Monday, January.
Is when, as a staff, we're going to start looking at what the choices are at that point in time. And then there will be a lot of communication between the 4th and the 15th is the end of the semester, so that from the 4th to the 15th, teachers are going to have that list available of who has chosen to be virtual, and we'll be communicating with them during those 2 weeks before the end of the break, that hey, you know, you got 2 weeks here left to get your grade up, or, you know, so we put that survey out today, so by the 4th, when we come back from break, we can start heavily communicating with parents and kids and saying, you got basically a week and a half to get your grade up. That or whatever the condition is that they're not meeting. So
I think you started that attendance what after
the
last meeting?
The day after the board meeting.
Did it improve?
This isn't a good time for you to ask me that because I just got done catching up on when I was gone for 2 weeks.
Okay.
It's not good, Lyle. Okay. It's not good.
Okay.
So but I will say, and I was gonna mention that our numbers have steadily gone down of virtual kids. We started at 34 at the high school at the start of the school year. It went all the way up to 53, and now we're down to 41 again. Now I think the list has really shrunk again because a fair number of students have come back because they've done so poorly. As Mike has said, you know, he's heard that the numbers will probably go up at break, and I think they probably will, but I do know of a couple more on that current list that are coming back. So do I think it'll be a little higher? I do, but I don't think it's going to be as high as I originally
Some thought. Of those increases in the numbers, is that due to quarantine and things? Are you counting the kids that are home on quarantine right now as part of that 41?
Well, that 41 is down from what it was.
But it started at 34.
Yeah.
Went up to 50, back to 41.
52 or 53, whatever it was.
And those kids had to get doctor's excuses or whatever to switch from in-person.
Every one of those kids from 34 to 52 was doctor's slips.
So the kids that are home on quarantine are not counted in that 41 right now.
So what did our first quarter look like in the synopsis of how much virtual, how many banks do we have that actually meet the total virtual learning? And I know in the grade school or the, it was more selective. In the high school we closed twice.
High school 3 weeks.
At the high school we closed once because of basically staff reasons.
1 week.
And then we closed for 1 week because of the number of cases.
The most recent one.
Positive, active.
So 2 weeks?
No, 2 weeks for that staff closure basically and 1 week for the active cases.
And how many weeks did the regular instruction, I guess, regulated with the
how far are we into the semester?
No, the first quarter is how many weeks?
Nine. Each quarter is nine.
Three of them were first.
Two first quarter, 1 week second quarter.
Yeah.
And in the elementary school?
In the elementary school, so we have the 2 weeks that the whole district was shut down. And
we got to be careful saying shut down.
Sorry.
We were virtual.
Virtual.
School was still happening. Grade levels.
Think about the change of the quarter though, when it happened. I believe it was right around the first week, it was a Wednesday to Wednesday of second quarter. So those weren't the first quarter.
So the majority of the time, the process that was established.
Absolutely. The vast majority.
Good on that? All right, moving forward, Neil, board policy updates, first reading.
Yeah, any questions on any of the policies that were included in there? These are all, again, just policies that come straight from Neola with recommendations for legal changes.
The only caveat would be that section B.
You have to tell the changes.
Right, that's a second item. That's another.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's the one underneath.
That's next. Yep. Local board policy update on 6320 purchasing.
Right. So 6320 purchasing. The board actually, Mr. Freiwald's request at one point has discussed this. It was asked to be brought to the policy committee. The policy committee went through it and came up with a recommended change. I believe. That would deal with what you were asking for to sort of eliminate the middleman, save the district some money. And that was, a motion was made by the committee to move to the full board to change the purchasing policy 6320 under D7, I believe on page 2, the first D7, to read, purchases of computers and related technology up to $100,000 in accordance with the board-approved technology plan, and to be brought to the board for review and approval prior to purchase. So really it's raising from $20,000 to $100,000. Ultimately, the quotes would be brought to the board for approval and for review and approval prior to anything would be purchased.
Instead it just, of going out for a bid process, it would
correct.
Be more of a request from our IT director. I
think, does that address it? That works?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the other thing is the board bylaws and policies. Normally the process for approving a policy is it gets a first reading at one board meeting and nothing changes, and then it gets a second reading at a second subsequent board meeting, and then the change is made and it's permanent change until changed again. The board does have in its bylaws the ability to change a policy after one meeting. If the board votes to do that, that change will only last, if it does nothing else, until the very next board meeting. But if you read and approve that same change at the subsequent board meeting, then it becomes permanent. So So because of the time-sensitive nature of this and trying to get these computers and get in the hopper with these companies so that they can be provided, so that we have them ready for next year and have time in the summer to get them loaded with our apps and our information, we're asking that the board do that, that you approve this change in the policy tonight so it's effective as soon as you approve it. It'll be brought back to the full board at the next board meeting to be made permanent, but it would be in effect then tonight. So you just have to include that in your motion when it gets to action.
All right, everybody good? Moving on, item scheduled for action, resignations, part-time custodial employees.
Annette Pennington has tendered her resignation as a part-time custodial employee.
Motion by Amy. Second by Mike Freibald. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 7-0. Seventh grade volleyball coach.
Nicole Grandall has tendered her resignation as the seventh grade volleyball coach.
I make that motion.
Motion by Chris.
Second.
Second by Kayla. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 6-0-1.
Whoops. Oh.
Appointments, part-time custodial employee.
Brenda McIntyre is recommended for approval as a part-time custodial employee.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Amy.
Second.
Who got the second? Second by Mike Freibald. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 7-0. Custodial substitute employees.
Volunteer coaches.
Yeah, there was
none. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, there were none.
Okay. Oh. So,
okay. No need for that.
All right.
We're hoping there will be. Jessica Sarmiento and Michael Tracy are recommended for approval as volunteer coaches.
Make the motion.
Motion by Chris.
Second.
Second by Kayla. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 7-0. Middle school activities code.
The board can take any action necessary related to middle school activities code.
All right, moving on, COVID-19 Wrestling Co-op.
The board is asked to approve the COVID-19 Wrestling Co-op as presented by A.D. Dorshner earlier in the meeting.
I make the motion.
Motion by Amy.
Second.
Second by Chris. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 7-0. Sorry, one second. Youth wrestling request to use district facilities.
The board may take any action related to the youth wrestling's request for using the district facilities.
I'll make a motion to allow the youth wrestling club to use the facilities
based on following the guidance that the district already has in place as far as
outside
influence. For clarification,
for only Cribbit students. Yeah.
Motion by Gary.
Second.
Second by Amy. Sorry, Chris.
That's okay.
Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 7-0. The old board policy updates first reading.
Oh, okay.
I'll make a motion to approve first reading.
Motion by Kayla.
I'll second.
Second by Lyle. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 7-0. Local board policy update, 6320 purchasing.
The board may take any necessary action in regard to policy 6320 purchasing.
I make a motion that purchases of computer and related technology up to $100,000 in accordance with the board approved technology plan and to be brought to the board for review and approval prior to purchase.
And that it be approved and that it be in force as of tonight.
Oh, okay, and it should be in force as of tonight.
Motion by Chris.
Second
by Mike Freibald. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 7-0. Future agenda items. All right, motion to adjourn. Motion by Kayla, second by Mike Freibald. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 7-0. We are adjourned at 6:57. Good meeting, everybody.